Welcome. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from several sources. So let's start with AARP, the magazine, and the article up front, What I Know Now, and this is by Roseanne Cash. The singer-songwriter riffs on life with her parents, finding normal, and the importance of legacy. The beginning matters. My parents were very young and extremely poor when I was born. My mother had two dresses, and they had one fountain pen, which they had to share. Dad, the musician Johnny Cash, took it to work, so Mom couldn't write anything down until he brought it home. And then my dad went on the road all the time. My mom had a lot of anxiety about that, and about my dad starting fires. Once the whole hillside burned, which was an accident. He was driving his tractor through dry brush. I still remember the feel of the smoke in my chest. And my mother suspected my dad was having affairs. When he got with June Carter, it was clear he was moving away. My mother became depressed and anorexic, and probably had a borderline personality. So I had to become an adult, caring for my three younger sisters. As an artist, I don't believe you have to keep suffering, but I think the original wounds can be source material, a place that's open. Seek refuge. I love language. I love grammar and punctuation, the Oxford comma, the sound of words, onomatopoeia, Shakespeare. At four, I desperately wanted to go to school. I asked my mother about every word I saw. I wanted to go to the library and read. There was so much going on at home that I tried to find safety in my imaginary life and in the library and in books and music. Particularly when I got to be in my early teens, I did this. All that was refuge, and it seeded the inspiration for later. Learning what's normal. John Leventhal, her husband, says that I front normal. Coming from such an abnormal childhood, I worked really hard to seem normal my whole life. I would think to myself, what do people do on New Year's Eve? They drink champagne. Okay, I'll do that. It's the reason I love the Little House books. It's washing on Monday, scrubbing on Tuesday, baking on Wednesday. Make change happen. When I was 20, I spent 6 months in London working for a record company, and it utterly changed my life. I was trying to make myself something different while I was there. That's harder when you're older. How to channel a song. If it doesn't sound too self-aggrandizing, I would say there are songs out in the universe that are complete, and if you've gotten to a certain place in your songwriting, you can receive them. Embrace your legacy. When the Country Music Hall of Fame asked me to do an exhibition, Roseanne Cash, Time is a Mirror through March 2026, I started pulling out lyric books and photographs and clothing, like the green suede jacket that my dad had made for me in Greenwich Village when I was 14. These things are now really precious to me, and I realized that some of the things you push away the hardest when you're young are the things that you embrace the tightest when you get older. Immortal Johnny. My dad now has a statue in the Capitol representing Arkansas, along with civil rights hero Daisy Bates of the Little Rock Nine. He would be prouder of that than any award he ever got, because that's touching immortality. It was like an out-of-body experience at the unveiling, but there was a feeling of sweet grief as well, because my son Jake said, once he's in bronze, he's really gone. Solace in Psalms. When my dad's eyesight was failing, one of the great regrets of his life was that he couldn't read anymore, because he loved his books. So I would read the Psalms to him every morning on the phone. He would go, slow down, because he really wanted to take in every word. And once, and I still feel terrible about this, I went up to the country and forgot to take a Bible with me. But I found a book and I said, Dad, I don't have the Psalms, I have Shakespeare. And he went, Shakespeare? Huh. I'll just wait. Fine-tuning parenting. My first husband, singer-songwriter Rodney Crowell, and I raised four daughters, including Rodney's daughter Hannah from his earlier marriage. And then John and I had a son. One of my really big life lessons is that girls and boys are very different. My girls are all dramatic, and their feelings are out in the open, and everything is big. But Jake taught me to respect his emotional privacy. Something else that I learned is that all my kids take unsolicited advice as criticism. So I've learned to keep my mouth shut, even if I have to bite my tongue. It isn't brain surgery. Oh, wait. In the late 90s, I had polyps on my vocal cords, and I couldn't sing for a couple of years. And then I had debilitating headaches that led to brain surgery in 2007. Pain is a very lonely country, and at times, at some point, you stop talking about it because that further distances you from people. But those kinds of experiences gave me more compassion for others in ways that normally nothing else could have taught me. Being 69, I'm turning 70 in May, and I'm nervous about it, in part because both my parents died at 71. I don't feel old, but there's no universe in which I can claim to be young anymore. My knees kill me, and I get more tired. I was talking to Elvis Costello about this, and he said he lies in bed and does the math. I do that, too. Can I make it until my grandchildren graduate from high school? Come together. I think about community a lot, because we need it more than ever, given the cultural narcissism that goes on, when it's all about me, my house, what I want for my kids, not our climate, not our future. At the end of the show every night, I say, we've created community in 2 hours. You can spread it out to your town, the rest of the country, the world. Every individual has power. And this article was as told to Alana Nash. Four-time Grammy winner Roseanne Cash, 69, just released Roseanne Cash, The Essential Collection on her label Rumble Strip Records. Now, going to the article that we've been following in New Psychology Now, Take Control of Your Mind for a Happier, Healthier Life, we're at an awesome page. It's entitled 15 Ways to Make Life More Fun. Boredom got you down? Try these happiness hacks to boost your well-being. Whether you're feeling run down or life feels a little bit like Groundhog Day, you might be wondering how you can feel lighter and have more fun. But don't worry, there's no need to make any drastic changes. In fact, according to research published in the Review of General Psychology, at least 40% of our happiness is down to our day-to-day choices and activities. Here are 15 surefire ways to bring a smile to your face. 1. Go for a walk followed by a sprint. A brisk 10-minute walk can increase self-esteem while reducing anxiety and stress, according to the Mental Health Foundation. Exercise decreases stress hormones while increasing mood-enhancing ones. And if you add a 30-second sprint at the end, this doubles the endorphins and improves your mood for up to 90 minutes, if your body will let you do that. 2. Mow the lawn. Chemicals released by a freshly mowed lawn enhance happiness and could even fight cognitive decline, according to researchers from the University of Queensland. Spending at least 15 minutes a day in the open air will also help you keep vitamin D levels topped up, lowering your risk of depression. 3. Do something spontaneous. Book a last-minute vacation or head for an unplanned night's out. Changing our normal routine reminds us to prioritize happiness and that we have the freedom and power to do such things. Pucker up. Apart from being good for your relationship, kissing your other half can make you feel happier. It releases the feel-good hormones, dopamine and serotonin. The latter helps regulate our emotions. 5. Take a sniff. Vanilla is anything but bland when it comes to boosting your mood. Studies have revealed that breathing in its scent can elevate feelings of joy and relaxation. Choose candles and diffusers with essential oils and breathe in deeply. 6. Ooh, I like this one. Savor some chocolate. You may already reach for a bar of chocolate when you're feeling low, but there is some science behind it. The feel-good sensation of chocolate is due to a natural chemical found in cocoa called phenylethylamine, I think, which researchers believe can create a feeling of mild euphoria similar to the experience of being in love. Next, number 7 is go on a day trip. According to psychologists at San Francisco State University, experiences make us happier than new objects because the excitement of buying something new fades faster than memories. So skip the shopping and go on a short break instead. 8. Get appy. Taking note of how you feel daily can give you more positive frame of mind. The Dailyo Journal app, free with app purchases, iOS and Android, lets you track your mood using emojis. You can also match your mood to daily activities, and with the statistics and calendar, you can spot patterns in your moods and behaviors. Number 9, fake a smile. Flashing your gnashers could help lift your mood. Experts say that how we react physically can affect how we feel emotionally. The act of smiling can tilt your emotions toward being happy and is likely to promote a smile in return. Number 10, achieve a goal. Whether it's submitting that work on time or simply getting that scrunched up piece of paper into the bin, successes have big impact on your mood. Set yourself a realistic and specific goal to help give you a boost. 11. Express yourself. Self-expression involves engaging in an activity that allows us to transfer the energy harbored in our thoughts and feelings into that practice, such as through words, by writing journals, poems, or stories, says neuroscientist Dr. Linda Shaw. Self-expression can also be depicted in the clothes we wear or the music we choose to listen to. 12. Connect with others. After the COVID-19 pandemic, we're more aware about the importance of staying connected. And not only can lack of socialization affect our mental health, but scientists using brain imaging also found that when people experience social exclusion and social distress, some areas of the brain are similarly activated as if they were experiencing physical pain, says Dr. Shaw. Number 13, laugh out loud. Many studies have proved that laughing can improve our mental health. According to an article in the Tohoku Journal of Experimental Medicine, dopamine and serotonin levels can be altered by laughter, says mental health therapist McKinley. They directly impact our mood, and it's believed that these levels are correlated with depression. 14. Take a selfie. A study by researchers at the University of California asked students involved to take a smiling selfie every day for 4 weeks and found they enjoyed a surge in happiness and became more confident on camera. Don't worry, you don't have to show them to anybody. And finally, dance with abandon. Put on your favorite song and dance like nobody's watching. Research at Australia's University of New England found that participants who learned to tango reported lower levels of anxiety, stress, and depression. Now, back to AARP, the magazine. Today's fitness plan for an active, healthy tomorrow. Let's look at Healthy You, a tasty way to boost your brain. Adding more nuts and seeds to your diet may help improve your mood, sharpen your cognition, and fend off the diseases of aging, as long as you're not allergic to them. There may be no such thing as a perfect food, but nuts and seeds come close. These nutritious superfoods contain omega-3 fatty acids and other unsaturated fats to help reduce inflammation and promote heart health, says registered dietitian Jessica Cording. With 3 to 7 grams of protein per ounce, nuts and seeds help fuel muscle maintenance and repair. They also keep you feeling full, helping with weight management. But in addition, these morsels have an unsung superpower. They help protect your brain. In part, that's due to their mix of healthy fats and antioxidants. But it's also a function of their fiber content. Eating enough fiber from food helps maintain a more balanced microbiome, which supports overall physical and mental well-being, says Uma Naidu, MD, a nutritional psychiatrist and author of This Is Your Brain on Food. Because nuts are high in calories, keep your snacking to about 1 ounce or a fourth of a cup of nuts per day. That's about 23 almonds or 14 walnut halves. Here are Naidu's choices for top nuts and seeds to keep your brain sharp. Chia seeds and flax seeds are very rich in omega-3 fatty acids in the form of ALA, alpha-linolenic acid, which research suggests supports brain health. Use ground flaxseed to maximize your body's ability to digest it. Walnuts might be shaped like little brains for a reason. They provide higher amounts of ALA than any other nut. Emerging research also links regular intake of walnuts with a lower prevalence of depressive symptoms and improved mood, says registered sports dietitian Kelly Jones. Like other nuts and seeds, they're also rich in protein and fiber. Researchers at Loma Linda University found that nuts have a positive impact on the brain's ability to generate brain waves, including gamma waves, which are critical for cognitive and memory. Among other nuts tested, pistachios had the greatest effect on gamma waves. Now, the first ones they were talking about were is pistachios. Among all nuts, almonds are by far the most potent source of vitamin E. Low intake of vitamin E has been linked to an increase in dementia risk. Brazil nuts are a great source of selenium, an antioxidant that has been associated with improved brain health, says Cording. Just one a day will more than cover your daily need of 55 micrograms. And finally, pine nuts are rich in a rare and specific fat called pinolenic acid, which has been shown to reduce inflammation levels. Do you want them raw or roasted? There's not a big difference health-wise between a raw and roasted. It's more important that you're consuming nuts and seeds at all, says dietitian Jessica Cording. Dry roasted nuts, which are roasted without any oil, have a similar nutrient profile to raw. You can dry roast nuts at home to enhance their flavor and texture. Most do well baked at about 300 degrees Fahrenheit until fragrant, about 10 to 25 minutes. Different nuts cook at different rates. There's one caveat, though. Do not overcook them, as that can reduce their antioxidant potential. Whether you're buying whole nuts or nut butters, the same rules apply. Look for products with as few ingredients as possible, ideally just the nuts or seeds. Cording says, if you see oils such as palm oil, preservatives, or added sugar, keep looking. And what if I'm allergic? An estimated 3.9 million Americans are allergic to tree nuts, including almonds, Brazil nuts, cashews, pecans, hazelnuts, pistachios, and walnuts. That doesn't mean they can't enjoy similar health benefits by eating seeds, Jones says. Roasted pumpkin seeds and hemp seeds are excellent additions to oatmeal, salads, and side dishes, while flax and chia seeds are great blended into smoothies, as well as oatmeal and baked goods, she adds. Now we have water everywhere. Supermarket aisles are flooded with all different kinds of bottled water. Are any of them worth the money? This is by Andrea Wickstrom. If you could travel back in time a few decades, landing in the 60s or 70s, say, you would be amused by some of the quaint things we used to do on a daily basis. Dial up a friend from a home phone, for example. Or show slides of our family vacation on a projector screen. Or drink water from the tap. As normal as that seemed when we were kids, today many of us won't drink tap water. Americans spend an estimated $49 billion in 2023 on bottled water and drank about 16 billion gallons, according to the Beverage Marketing Corporation. That's a lot of bottled up H2O. And it adds up to a lot of extra money and a lot of extra plastic floating around the environment. Buying water for your family can be confusing and a bit stressful, though, because we're not just buying jugs that say water on them. Now we have to choose between vitamin water, hydrogen water, mineral water, electrolyte water. How are all these opinions different? It's one better than another? And are there any real health benefits to spending extra money on something that you can get for pennies from your sink? The case for tap water. In general, the United States has some of the world's safest drinking water, thanks to quality standards that public water systems must meet and ongoing monitoring by the Environmental Protection Agency, EPA. Regardless of its source, public water is treated before it arrives in homes to remove potential chemical and bacterial contamination before consumption. In addition, an estimated 43 million Americans get their water from private underground wells. This water is not regulated, so homeowners are responsible for ensuring that their supply is safe for drinking, usually through recommended annual testing. Tap water doesn't always taste or smell good, especially water from private wells, which can be cloudy or smell of sulfur, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's not good for you. A safe amount of chlorine, for example, may be used in city or county water to kill bacteria, viruses, and other microorganisms that can make us sick. Water can sometimes have a bad smell, taste, or appearance, but these features don't usually last long or indicate a public health concern, says registered dietitian Courtney Johnson. Chlorine chemicals or a medicine-like taste or smell don't typically mean there's an immediate health threat. If there's an issue such as flooding or a chemical spill that endangers the local water supply, your local government or water utility will issue an advisory. Be sure not to use ice or drink water from your refrigerator during an advisory. Still, there's been a lot of media attention around contaminated drinking water. In April 2024, the Biden administration finalized limits on forever chemicals in drinking water, requiring utilities to reduce them to the lowest measurable levels. Government officials say those chemicals called PFAS are linked to liver disease, heart disease, and certain cancers. In October 2024, the Biden administration also finalized rules requiring water systems around the country to identify and replace lead pipes within the next 10 years. The fact about bottled water. U.S. Food and Drug Administration, FDA, strictly regulates bottled water production and distribution. Bottled water companies are required to maintain sanitary conditions, protect the approved water sources, and test the final product. So like tap water, bottled water is generally safe. But that doesn't mean there aren't concerns. Filtered water may provide fluoride, which at currently approved levels is safe to drink and helps prevent tooth decay. Sometimes manufacturers will reintroduce minerals after purification. Another concern is the plastic bottles most water comes in. Plastic breaks down over time, and tiny bits of the bottles themselves, known as microplastics, can enter the water. Plastic bottles may also contain chemicals such as BPA, bisphenol A, and other substances used to give plastic bottles transparency, shape, and flexibility, and can leach into the water. Growing evidence shows that microplastics negatively affect the endocrine, reproductive, and immune systems, as well as bacteria found in the gut. The thyroid plays a role in regulating almost all organs in the body, and long-term exposure to plastics negatively affects its ability to regulate growth, development, metabolism, and reproduction, Johnson says. What are the different types of bottled water? These categories overlap, but here's a breakdown, and we are going to have to hold that until next time. I think we have just time to catch up with Tony Danza. Tony Danza, 73, returned to series TV and stars Power Book 3, Raising Canaan, last year. He's talked with AARP about the challenges of aging, staying in shape, and the magic behind Who's the Boss. How are things for you? I'm thinking about that old saying that you're only as happy as your least happy child, and right now I'm sort of enjoying the gift of my children's happiness, all three of them. Mark Anthony, 54, Catherine, 37, Emily, 32, are in great shape. It's thrilling. What's Grandpa Tony like? I am their ear a lot. It's really important. I lost my father when I was 32, and that's when you are ready to listen to your father. He was gone. I feel this responsibility, especially to my own grandkids, but the kids in general, to warn them, to give them the benefits of the mistakes you've made, and to let them know what they're going to be facing. Who's the Boss was right next door to Different Strokes, and those kids had a very different outcome. So it matters who you end up working with, too. Have you had to give up anything in your routine as you've gotten older? I don't do crazy physical stuff too much anymore. I don't box anymore. I don't skate anymore. I'm a little bit more careful with my physical situation. I turned 73, and I was doing an interview, and a guy said to me, "How does it feel to turn 73? I was like, "You dirty." And then I said, "It feels like I live in a bad neighborhood and anything can happen." And this was as told to Gail Joe Carter. And how about a bit of nostalgia? Rock around the decades. So we have pictures here of Blackboard Jungle with Glenn Ford and Rock and Roll Arrives. 70 years ago this March, this just past March, the movie Blackboard Jungle premiered with Rock Around the Clock sung by Bill Haley and his Comets in its soundtrack. Teenagers go nuts. Future music historians will mark this as a milestone in the development of rock and roll. Well, folks, we have once again run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure and listen at the same time next week. I do hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.